so fucking stupid sometimes.
Disco, good.
Hello, Bader.
Is that your best Joe Swanson?
That was my best Joe. I don't know how that sounds, but... Hello, welcome to New Day, New Movie.
Where we watch 365 movies.
In 365 days.
I'm Mitch.
I'm Scott.
And it's in-person recording.
First like, one in like
a
what?
A month or something.
Three episodes, I think.
Yeah.
It's good to have you back in the chair.
You were
it's
tired
lonely.
Of...
It's lonely in this room.
Looking at nothing.
It's lonely with an empty chair across from me.
I know. Not talking to a wall is pretty nice.
Yeah. I mean, I have this wonderful mattress next to me, but it...
I just imagine you just like slumped over in the mattress with the mic down low and just...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So we watched this week.
Yep. That's what I did. I laid, except for your dad's episode where I sat backwards the whole time. And I will tell you, this chair sitting backwards in it, very uncomfortable. So
I'm sure
I'd like credit for the commit to the cool sit. But anyway,
welcome to week 44.
Yeah, week 44. You know what that means?
No.
It means there's only less than we had last week left.
Woo!
Like every week. Fuck.
Grunt noise.
Yay! Week 44, we have 8 weeks left.
Yeah. 2 months.
It's going to be the longest 8 weeks.
Of our lives.
Of our lives to date. I'm sure we'll have longer ones in the future.
I'm sure.
But it's gonna blow chunks.
It's gonna suck.
I'm not looking forward to it. I was hoping, I feel like I said this every week for the last couple weeks. I was hoping 1 week we would hit that last little home stretch burst of energy, and I just want this to fucking end.
Well, I think the benefit, and I guess we can get into the what's in the we are doing a special edition episode next week, which is going to be a Stranger Things watching.
See, I almost forgot.
I
was like, what are you talking about?
So that will be one of our weeks. We'll have a special guest on in a few weeks for your dad. And then one of those weeks is also all of our guests, right?
Yep.
So that cuts it down a little bit that it's like only five.
There's something interesting
weeks,
going on.
But there's three, you know, like.
Touché.
So I don't know. It could be better.
Could help. Might help break it up.
The final push.
Next week didn't help though, but we'll talk about that next week, which we're recording right after this. Because once again, time is not on our
side.
No, it's not.
Do you have any news?
It was my birthday the week that this week happened.
Happy birthday, Scott.
Yay. I did absolutely fucking nothing, and that's the way I like it, and I'll never get bored.
It's 29 years young.
Hey now.
You're an all-star.
I'm a year older. It's fucking
great. Get your
great.
Couch on. Watch a movie.
But anyway, no, that's it for news. Do you have anything else?
It's been so long since, you know, we probably should have recorded this that I don't really have news outside of we have exciting weeks, hopefully, which can push us to the finale here. Outside of that, though, that's the news. It's a little sadder
fucking
every week.
News. Fuck the news. But on to a wonderfully jam-packed week of...
Movies I forgot.
Movies I don't remember at all now. Yeah, I'm glad we were on the same page there. Except for one, obviously.
Yes.
Because it's a movie we've both seen...
A thousand times.
Hundreds of thousands of times, perhaps.
Yeah.
But week 44 movies. Mitchell, do us the honors.
Man, Scott never calls me Mitchell.
I've never used your full name before.
I think this is the first time ever.
I missed you. I missed you so much.
Oh, Mitchell. All right. Monday, we watched Day Shift. Tuesday, The Birds. Wednesday, Sleepaway Camp. Thursday, You Don't Mess with the Zohan. Friday, Sicario, Day of the Soldado. Saturday, The Swordsman. And Sunday, Beast.
Unfortunately, I remember that one the most.
Yeah, I remember hating that one the most.
Yeah, that too.
But on Monday, we got back to my Netflix movie of the week, you know? Day Shift, a hardworking blue-collar dad who just wants to provide a good life for his quick-witted 10-year-old daughter. His mundane San Fernando Valley pool cleaning job is a front for his real source of income, hunting and killing vampires. So, I thought it was decent. I think the vampire craze is in full effect right now, if I'm being real.
I'm fucking sick of it.
Because I feel like this is, what, the third vampire movie that Netflix has produced? And I looked into it, and there's at least 13 vampire movies on Netflix currently.
What do you mean? Like they've...
If you just search Netflix vampire, like movies that have vampires in them, or is considered a vampire movie, or we had a discussion a couple weeks ago about what is a vampire movie or a movie with vampires. Anyways, there's 13 of them on Netflix. This just happens to be the newest one. And we watched
Night Teeth
a while back.
Which was, I don't remember you liking very much, I don't think, because it wasn't very vampire-esque. But I think that's what I really liked about it, is there wasn't a whole lot of vampire bullshit in it. Which is stark contrast to this one, where it was jam-packed with vampire bullshit. A lot of it didn't make sense. A lot of it spit in the face of, from what I remember, things that it also confirmed, that like traditional vampire stuff.
Well, I mean, at least in this one, the vampires didn't have a reflection. They got burned if they went outside.
But they did at one point. Like little Franco. Like, after he was a vampire, he looks in the mirror, and like,
doesn't
after
he gets immediately turned, like, disappear though? After,
did he? I don't remember this.
I think there was a transition of like he walked in, saw his reflection, and going. Then like the effect took.
I really could be confusing that scene with
any other vampire.
So many
movie?
Other things at this point, but Snoop Dogg stole the show.
Snoop D-O-double-G. Snoop
Big J, right?
that was my happy birthday
drop
message.
It like it's hot.
To Scott. It was Snoop Dogg.
I was like, hey, Big J. He's like, I'm glad you watched that movie on time and got the reference.
Yeah, because it'd have been awkward. It was like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
No, I think you're right, though. I mean, this did kind of feel like a crapshoot as far as like the plot goes. And I think that has to do with, like, it seemed like there was some deleted scenes or rewrites that happened in the middle of this movie.
Yeah.
Because the biggest problem I had with this film was, like, Jamie Foxx's character and his neighbor. Like, when they get to the part where she, like, is like, hey, I'm a vampire, and that person you're trying to kill, I work for and I cherish, but I'll go along with you anyways because we have this great relationship, even though this is the second time they've ever seen each other.
He's very trusting of this.
Right? Like, there was
vampire
no...
vampire who just fucking duped him.
Yeah.
He got bamboozled and he was like, I mean, you're hot, I guess, so... Like, well, was that what it was supposed to be?
Well, I think what it was supposed to be a love interest between the two. Like, there was supposed to be some sort of romantic relationship between the two,
but they had to have him hook up back with the mom
exactly,
at the end, so
right?
They kind of scrapped that.
So they scrapped the idea, yeah. Or they rewrote it, and I honestly think like it was happen. Like a Jamie Foxx decision, because it wouldn't be out of his personality to do that, because in Law Abiding Citizen, he was upset that Gerard Butler was going to be the winner in the end, and like, oh no, I can't do that. I'm going to quit the movie if you do that. And he wanted to be like, I'm not no player. I'm truthful to my bitch, you know? Like, I don't know.
He ain't saying she a gold digger.
But, I mean, okay. But I thought the duo of Jamie Foxx and Dave Franco was pretty decent.
I liked what that ended up kind of being. I thought at first I rolled my eyes so far into the back of my head that they came back out in the front from the bottom. So I was able to continue watching the movie because of that. And they had better chemistry than I was expecting them to have up front. Like the second they meet at the counter, I was like, okay, they're going to have some unlikely, like Dave Franco's not going to be a small role at this point. Right.
No.
Like he's going to be, and it turned into buddy cop vampire slayer. Also with the, he's now a vampire, but he's fighting vampires because.
And he didn't, I guess vampires can just vampire be fight
good or not good, even though there's like.
Can't.
Oh yeah, they can't. Yeah.
They can't.
Just
they
let
can't
him have them. That one, man. Come on. But the real questions, how the fuck did Snoop Dogg crawl out of that manhole at the end?
I
found his hat completely unscathed from the explosion in the crypts.
Yep. Down in the mines.
Spoilers. Oh, Snoop Dogg survives at the end and he just says something about, I love LA. It made me think of that. I think it was a Game Grumps video. Yeah, it was definitely a Game Grumps video. Old Game Grumps video. And they were talking about LA Inc. or whatever. Mm. And it's
like the tattoo parlor. I can't think
of her name. Yeah. I can't think of her name, but she's got a deep voice. And Aaron, one of the Grumps, was like, oh, yeah, she's got such a deep voice at the beat. I love this city. I love LA. I love LA. So it made me chuckle. But anyway.
So it seems like he didn't really like the movie, though.
But it's been so long now, and this is what I was going to start with, but here we are. I've said much more. But I don't remember being like, like, I think it was entertaining. It just, you needed to not expect it to make sense or be good.
Yeah.
But I don't remember being like, God, that is just on the bottom of the fucking, like, fuck this movie. Like Beast, right? I think having Beast in the same week elevated this movie slightly. So I don't know really what I'm going to rate this right now when we approach this segment of the movie platform we have created. But I'm stalling so I can think.
Hey, I'll start then while you take that. I mean, outside of the gripes of, like, it seemed like there was rewrites, I didn't find myself, like, ever just despising watching the movie.
Yeah.
Like, I had a good time enough. And there was a few chuckles. Like, I thought Dave Franco and Jamie Foxx's character, they had enough chemistry, but none of them, like, neither one of them was overbearing and, like, trying to have, like, a comedic quip every single line that they said. So I would give it a one just because I think, in terms of vampire movies, there was an interesting take of, like, I am collecting teeth. It was
an interesting take with you.
Taking teeth. The older the teeth, the more valuable they are. That
was
kind of cool. That
was an interesting thing, yeah. And, like, the whole market, the idea behind a lot of things in the movie was interesting, but it was just a cliche kind of buddy cop vampire slayer fiasco. And it was very cliche, but again, I think if you just, like, it's a fucking another vampire movie on Netflix, which I liked Night Teeth, so I think I expected more from it, which is why I had so many gripes. But if I went into it expecting what I would normally expect from someone saying, hey, watch this vampire movie on Netflix, I think it would have blown my expectations to smithereens. So I think I enjoyed myself. I don't fucking know. It was 2 weeks ago, so I give it a one.
Hey, look at that.
Tuesday.
Mitch got a one on a Netflix movie.
I'll give you your one.
Woo.
Your one Netflix movie one.
Yeah.
But Tuesday, my pick, The Birds. Getting our Hitchcock on because I don't think we did the week before. And tweet, I know we tweet, did your dad's
tweet,
week. So
tweet.
A wealthy San Francisco socialite pursues a potential boyfriend to a small Northern California town that slowly takes a turn for the bizarre when birds of all kinds suddenly begin to attack people.
Alfred Hitchcock.
Enough said. Yeah, it was great.
I was like, yeah, but in all seriousness. Whatever.
So Wednesday.
Another great movie. There's so many things I could talk about that he just does well in every single movie, but I'm not going to try to talk about that. I think what I want to focus on is how this week we saw two different movies where people get mauled by animals.
Yeah, I was going to say and that too. Two animal movies.
This one involved birds, and the other one we watched involved lions. And the birds did more damage
than the lion did. Those birds fucked shit up. And the lion just kind of CGI lion. But, but the birds. I feel like we talked about this. I have seen this, but a very long time ago. I don't even know if you can count it as having seen it, because I remembered nothing other than the scene where they come through the chimney, when they're all initially trapped in the house. Yep. That's what I remember from this movie, but I didn't remember anything else. There are so many other subplot lines and things going on around the whole bird attack thing.
Yep.
That I definitely did not remember, and it was all very interesting. What you'd expect from him, right?
Yeah.
The suspense, of course. He's known as the master of suspense for a reason.
I thought this one was a little more graphic, especially when they showed the guy that got mauled by the birds. Like, his eyes were pecked out. Yeah. He was covered in blood and scratches and shit.
Yeah, sweet.
That lingered a little bit with you. So I'm sure seeing this back when it was released was pretty terrifying.
Well, I'm pretty sure my grandma has said about this movie, and she was like, "That's what, I didn't like birds for a long time after that movie."
Yeah, who would? I
didn't want to mess with birds.
I told Kristen about this one. She's like, "I don't fuck with birds. They're weird." I was like, "Okay, don't watch the birds."
They are.
Don't watch the birds.
That lady in the diner had plenty to say about how weird they were. Just refused to believe that they would
attack people,
maul a town. But
I love these movies in the sense of I talked about this so often, but how it's just times have changed.
Mm-hmm.
Just think about this girl chases after a guy across city limits to find him at his home to drop off birds as a prank. But then everyone's so welcoming to hey, just stay with me and come here. And everyone's so weirdly friendly, and things don't seem stalkerish of chasing someone down to find them. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like even then, if this wasn't a movie, that would still be a bit of a red flag perhaps. But
how the fuck did you find me? Oh, I just, I used my resources.
I literally came to town.
And I asked around.
And I asked everyone where the fuck you were and what your daughter's name was. And they were fairly willing to give that information up. So here I am. You should really have words with the people in town and tell them that,
don't disclose my location, my family's members' names.
Yeah, especially not your daughter. It's a little creepy.
Well, the thing was, the daughter immediately ran up to her and gave her a hug and was like, "Oh, thanks for the birds."
Yeah, well, I mean, I like that he set that up as "Oh, this new girl, she got you a gift." But he knew.
Yeah.
I don't know. Another crazy mother Hitchcock movie as well.
Yeah.
We got the mom deal. I don't know if he had mommy problems or something, but crazy controlling mom stuff. That's not the only movie this week we watched with that in it.
No.
But I think my biggest thing with this one is location. And that is something we may have not directly addressed, but we've kind of talked about some of the stuff in the past of his sets and his, but this one, the whole town, you feel like you're in the town and you know the town, and you have the schoolhouse and you know where the diner is and you know where the post office is and you know where he is across the lake and the harbor and it's just all set up so well.
Yeah, he really sets the atmosphere for all of his films, and some of the ones we've mentioned, Dial M for Murder in the past, of everything's so enclosed and tight space.
Quaint settings. And
but then you have this, but the way that he's able to illustrate kind of just locationally, whether it be a shot from going from this point to another point, but also keeping it very wide to see everything that you're passing.
Her driving up the coast was great, great shots, but it's all very those establishing shots of things. He just does well of knowing where you are in the space of the story in general, almost.
And kind of puts you just like right in the middle of it.
You're like, I could be in this diner right now, and they're all in the diner, and you have, you know, all the different dialogues going on. And I don't know. It was great.
It was a great movie, as all of his movies seem to be. I don't think I will ever not find one I don't like or wouldn't give a one.
Yep.
So Scott's free One's point of around. The week. One for Scott.
I'll take my free point of the week. We got a lot of Hitchcock left and not as many weeks. So if you want to start throwing Hitchcock on there too,
double
we
just got to find him.
Fuck yeah, dude. I'm down. but anyway, ones. So Schwensday,
Sleepaway Camp. Angela Baker, a shy, traumatized young girl, is sent to summer camp with her cousin. Shortly after her arrival, anyone with sinister or less than honorable intentions toward her gets their comeuppance. Is that right? Comeuppance?
Yeah. Comeuppance.
Yep, comeuppance. So I chose this movie because during the first week of school, when I was going around kind of getting to know our students, we were asking each other questions, and I play a game where they have to answer a certain question based off of like a card they pull from a deck. And one came up, was asking, like, what was your favorite movie? So they immediately asked me what my favorite movie was. And that's really hard to answer. So I was like, well, maybe choose a genre. And they're like, oh, horror. Everybody agreed unanimously, like, pick horror. So I was like, that's really tough, too. I've seen a lot of fucking horror movies. But I think I ended up saying Texas Chainsaw Massacre, the original one, is probably my favorite horror.
Not the new one? Not the new Netflix one?
If I watched it on double speed, maybe.
Yes, no, the original is it's fucking classic.
But then I had to ask, what's your favorite horror movie? And this one kid was like, Sleepaway Camp, have you seen it? And I was like, no, I never even heard of it. So I looked into it a little bit. I had no idea anything about this movie. And like upon just a little bit of research, I found out it was like a cult classic film. And people loved it for its terrible acting, ridiculous plot lines, and like the fact that it lived up to the horror genre of being at a summer camp. And then there was one shot in the film that you would just never forget. And it lived up to every one of those things perfectly. Because I was not ready for the final shot of the film. Nothing could have prepared me for that moment.
When I saw that you put this on the list, I audibly laughed. Because I have seen that shot.
You have.
I know of this movie. I know of its following, but I have never seen the movie. But I have seen that shot. So the whole movie, I was kind of waiting for that. Like, when is it going to come in? And but it literally closes out the movie. I didn't know that. I didn't know that was the final shot, right? I just knew that was like, that's Sleepaway Camp. That's the thing, right? That's the, it's a boy. It was a boy the whole time.
Whole you know, time.
That's the thing. But, but yeah, dude, this is kind of garbage. Yeah. But in a somewhat enjoyable way, but also by the end, and that being the end, and that shot is just so jarring and terrible. Like, I don't know. I don't know if I liked it.
I thought you would have liked it just for the fact that it had an 84-minute runtime.
I did appreciate that, yeah.
You're like, oh, nice.
So it's short. I'm on board with this.
Honestly, though, as far as like slasher films go, this had some of the gnarlier kills I think I've seen.
It had some good shit, yeah.
The acting, like I said, was just atrocious, and it was awesome. I think I love that most about the film. It was just like, I think what they did well was they tried to use actually like kid actors and actresses instead of like casting like 27-year-olds to play a 15-year-old.
Yeah.
But you also have the back end of like, they're not going to be
they won't as act
in tune
as well
with their acting ability.
And I don't think anyone in this movie went on to be anything? Someone notable. There was a few that have been in stuff. But not like they didn't become a big name, a household name or anything, right? There were.
I would say, yeah, looking at the cast list, I wouldn't be able to tell you any of their names. And a lot of them are even like their photos on IMDb are from this movie. Like,
yeah.
It's just a still from the movie.
Yeah.
I was like, that is that person.
It was interesting my dad watched this one with me, and both of us just kind of sat in silence at the end and looked at each other and just was like shaking our heads like, what the fuck was this? And I remember him saying after, he was like, and they still fucking sent us to summer camps in the 80s. They saw all this and they still sent us. But they dealt with some weird shit in this, like the cook,
yeah,
the first kill,
like the pedophile. Who's
like a pedophile. Yeah, like that was really, I feel like that you wouldn't have that in a movie these days because it's so offensive, and movies can't be that offensive anymore unless it's in service of particular ideologies. I didn't know how else to say that, but I mean, that's true. So
I mean,
I'm thinking of like Men, right?
Yeah.
Like if it's a, and I don't mean that in such a negative way, but if it's like a current popular social message, then you can get graphic with it. Like, it's not uncommon to see that. But if it's something that's like we don't talk about.
Well, I feel like it wasn't even like addressed too much in the 80s either, which is probably why it was such a...
True. I mean, like considering what we know about Hollywood these days.
Like, I'm sure people were aware of it, but they weren't talking about pedophilia at all. And then, like, you present this character in the film who's just... I don't know how nobody else at the camp can see just, like, what a creep he is, but whatever.
Well, that's the crazy thing, too, is everybody else in the kitchen is just like, oh, that rascal, like...
That funny guy. Like,
didn't actually think he meant any of it, but he's, like, the creepiest person I've ever seen at the beginning of this movie. He was probably the best actor in the movie because... You really, there's like one scene where he like licks his lips or something in the beginning, I think I remember. And you're just like,
yeah, it kind of chills down your spine a little bit. Like, that's a
absolutely
freaky fucking dude.
This guy needs to die first. And they deliver. So,
they do.
You know
they do
what?
Deliver.
But.
Did you know there's like four more of these?
All different casts, I'm assuming.
I think so.
Is it still the same premise? Is it still.
Let's see. Hold on.
It's like all the psychos.
You have Sleepaway Camp, Sleepaway Camp 2, Sleepaway Camp 3, Return to Sleepaway Camp, Sleepaway Camp 4, and then Sleepaway Camp Reunion 3D.
What? Did that come out in like 2013 or 2010 or something?
So
I feel like that's a late 2000s.
We're stretching from 1983. Sleepaway Camp came out in 2012. Sleepaway Camp Reunion, it says it's 2010, so that must have came out before 4. What the hell?
What's the 3D one?
Or maybe the 3D one has Drake Bell in it? What the fuck?
What? Please don't put that on the list. I don't care how interested you are. God damn.
Oh, here we go, boys. Is that right? I'm so confused now. Unless it never got made. I can't even find... I don't know. I'm just stumbling now. If anybody can answer.
Some internet trickery going on.
I think it might have been a... like, it maybe talked with all of the cast across their shit. I don't know. Either way.
I don't want to watch it. Either way, I don't want
to
watch it.
Scott doesn't want to watch any of the Sleepaway Camps outside of... I don't think he wanted to watch the first one, to be honest with me.
This is just like Day Shift, though. Like, I remember thinking, what the, like, this fucking movie, what the fuck, right? Just what the fuck? I don't have any other words. But it is kind of
entertaining,
like classic in it, you know? It's a cult classic. It's a dog shit made, like, passion project horror slasher. In the peak times of the horror slasher kind of, you know, budget B movie. So I appreciate it. You know what I mean? I don't know. What do you rate this?
What do I rate
it? Yeah, I'm asking you first. I felt it coming, so I was going to throw it at you first.
I liked it. I thought it was ridiculous. It was pretty fun. Twisted slasher film. I mean, it never took itself seriously.
That's the thing.
And, like, I was just able to just, like, enjoy it and just kick back and not think about anything while Well, until that final shot that just lingered in my mind for a while. It's just like, that's pretty disturbing. That's yeah, exactly. Her arms are all cocked up, or his arms are all cocked up, and I kind of figured the brother had a part to doing it, but like the brother actually being the girl all along because the aunt was a fucking crazy bitch, psycho. Well,
honestly, I kind of forgot the opening scene of the movie until they replayed it at the end. And so just in saying that, this is how you use like reminding shots of like, remember, we actually set this up. This was way at the beginning of the movie. Now we're way at the end of the movie. A lot has happened. Remember the girl died? You didn't even think that that was a thing that happened, right? You probably went straight from that scene into the next scene, but you knew, if you think back, the little girl was the one who had the life vest on, right?
Yep.
But you don't even put that together until the end. So that alone is brilliant.
Yes.
And well done. And in, I don't know if it's any movies this week. I can't remember Beast enough, actually, to remember. But next week, I will talk a lot about this, because that's one thing I fucking hate, is when every 10 minutes they have to remind you what happened in the last 10 minutes. I just fucking watched it. I know what just happened. You don't need to fucking flashback all the time. And this was proper use of it. So for that alone, I give this a 15.
Yeah, let's go.
But I will give it a 1.
Woo-woo. Let's go. Mitch killing it this week.
If we recorded this last week, I don't know if I would feel so strongly about that. But after our next week, I very, very much feel that that needs to be shouted out for Sleepaway Camp. All that right. is how you use it. Anyway, moving on to Thursday. A favorite of both of ours, a movie that has been quoted by both of us into the ground.
Yep.
A timeless classic.
That's one way to describe it.
Depending on who you are. You don't mess with the Zohan. An Israeli Special Forces soldier fakes his death so he can reemerge in New York City as a hairstylist.
I want to cut hair.
I want to cut and style hair.
All right, let me first start off by saying, fuck you. I swore no matter what movie you picked for your birthday, I would give it a 0. And I just don't know if I can do it with this movie. Because it still stands as like one of my favorite movies.
I still enjoyed the fuck out of this. And I don't know, man. It's an Adam Sandler movie.
Oh, probably one it's of offensive. The stupidest. Yeah.
It's dumb. But I don't know what about it. It's so quotable. It's so for us. I don't know. I feel like nowadays, like this movie would not get made. This would be
absolutely not.
And when was this? This was 2007 or something, I want to say. So I mean, it was a different time.
Yeah.
But holy shit, man.
I think that really what it comes down to though is like the fact that we quote it so much, and like when I rewatch it, I can still find enjoyment because I just think back to the time with the boys of watching this, right? Just on the couch watching a dumb movie and laughing our asses off, and that's it, you know? And
there's a bit of nostalgia to it, I suppose.
I guess, you know?
A bit of nostalgia and Emmanuel Creaky, I think, is what takes the cake in this movie. But Fizzy Bubble?
The Fizzy Bubble?
The Fizzy Bubble. Hey. I'm trying not to do...
Just quote
we
the
knew
entire
if we
time.
Did this, we're just going to fucking sit here and quote back and forth to
time.
Each other. But we're trying not to do that.
Where'd you find these? Specialty shop on the Upper East Side.
What is he? He's
not for
Australia. It's from Australia and Tibet.
This is Australian Tibet accent.
Has it been since they got rid of the apartheid there? Oh, it's great. The weather is much cooler. It's so fucking stupid. And really? If you're listening, I probably don't recommend it. I don't know who.
Oh,
it's just
I'll be the first to say that this is not for everyone. No. This is not even close to being considered a good movie.
No, it's terrible.
And like I'm sure a majority of the public does not like this movie.
Probably not.
But
I don't can't help but love it.
I think of like the phone shop scene. Press this button for the HBO. Like, I wish I had that. In. I wish I had that button so I could spend a little less money on streaming services.
Oh man,
it's just a dumb movie. I really don't know why we like it comparatively to like movies that we'll say.
It's a part of our communication now, just in daily life. We seriously, I almost forgot how much I still quote this just randomly.
Yep.
Until I got two scenes where I was like, oh fuck.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Mariah Carey, I love you. I love you.
Come to where you are. It's probably so offensive, but it's just awful. So it really stupid. And I don't know, man. Obviously a one.
Yeah. I told you it wouldn't be, but I have to give it a one because it's just disco, disco, good, good.
I got two more this week because I got the extra pick for birthday pick, right? Like you did. So
yeah.
There's two more chances for you to give me zeros. Curious to see how you feel.
Damn it. I'm looking at my scores.
Aw, yeah. All
right. Beast was one of yours, right?
No. No, it was not. I was shocked you put that on there as your own pick. That's one that definitely we could have been like, you know what? Fuck it. It's the only one in Dolby. We'll see it as a double pick so that neither of us get screwed. But you jumped on that grenade, my friend. The Zohan.
We still have... Would you have faked your own death to get out of seeing that movie?
If I could go back, I'd consider it. But we still have two movies between now and when we talk about that. So, okay. Moving on to Friday, Sicario, Day of the Soldado. The drug war on the U.S.-Mexico border has escalated as the cartels have begun trafficking terrorists across the U.S. border. To fight the war, federal agent Matt Graver reteams with the Mercurial Alejandro.
Alejandro. Is that a Lady Gaga song?
That is a Lady Gaga song, yes. Yeah. Unfortunately, know this.
Yeah. I've seen this. I've done this.
You don't want
you
this.
You don't want this. Now that we've mentioned Zohan, it's over. It's over.
You slice your jugular. All of your blood will spill out on the floor in 4 minutes.
Sicario de Soldado.
So this is obviously the sequel to Sicario, which we watched not too long ago, and I think we both really, really enjoyed.
Yes.
It is a favorite of mine. I bought it after we saw it. I bought it on 4K Blu-ray because of those dawn shots.
Yep, they were beautiful.
And I've heard... This one did much worse than the original, and I've heard people say that this one like didn't live up, and I don't think I agree. I liked the first one. I think this one was different than the first one, but I don't think there was anything wrong with this movie.
Like overall, I think it was a decent sequel to the first. But there were a few times throughout the movie that I felt that it was just like trying too hard to be the original.
Okay.
And like things that were like executed well in this obviously was the score again. The acting was awesome. Cinematography was great. But I don't know if it built suspense and tension as well as the first one did. And I think they were trying too hard to do that at points in this film.
Yeah, I guess my biggest gripe would be the whole, what's her name? The government lady.
Hmm.
She was the one in
names of anything. This
yeah.
Week.
She was the one in, what was it? Ryan Reynolds movie. She was the one who'd had the, you know what I'm talking about?
Oh, Catherine Keener, right?
Yes. Catherine Keener. Her whole role in this and that whole side of things, although necessary, the way I feel like that was what was kind of, we just needed to have it to be able to have the things to happen and have the end happen the way it happens and whatever.
It was just a plot device to but move it was the story exactly. forward a little bit, but also, yeah. But
and it could have been a little better done, I suppose. It could have been a little more thought out. But I feel like having seen Sicario so recently, having it still kind of recent in my mind because I liked it so much. I don't know about you, I guess. I mean, I know we've seen a lot of movies since then. That was a couple months ago. How many movies
that we've seen in between that I'm like...
But like the good movies, the really good movies, I remember.
Well, I just also, I watched Sicario on my cell phone.
That's true. You had a different viewing experience. I watched it on Tyler's 80-inch OLED. That is what made me buy an OLED of myself. For myself.
I'm like, yeah, I remember it being a good movie, but like it wasn't the Dolby experience that you got.
Yeah. So I feel like because of that, I went into this kind of straight off of that.
Yeah.
Like there was no time missed. There was no... So it felt like a decent continuation after some time. Obviously, some time passed, whatever, but...
I'm actually surprised it felt like I was right back so there, long to, you know, put it on the list, to be honest with you.
I couldn't find it streaming anywhere, and I was trying to avoid... I've been trying to avoid too many rentals lately.
Trying to pay for more things than we have to.
Yeah, because we are way up there in the streaming services monthly payment, so the less rentals, the better.
I found out... When I got a new card in the mail,
yeah,
that gives me 6% back on my streaming services. So I was going through and looking for all of my streaming services to switch to the card, and then I found out that I've been paying for Showtime for the last 3 months, which is like $11 a month. Shit. But we haven't watched the Showtime movie, and I don't know how fucking long.
It's been a while, yeah. God damn.
And I was like, what the
fuck? It's Shudder all over again. Well, Shudder. Are you still paying for Shudder?
Yeah, I still have Shudder. That one's intentional, though, because you watch shit on, I think, AMC, and I watch it on Shudder.
Yeah,
we both
have it, yeah.
It's just, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, we at least use that one. But I have some Showtime movies on the list. We should throw those on.
Before, I did cancel it.
Yeah, but
so I have
while
like
we have time.
2-3 weeks.
That's fucking funny. Anyway.
Tangent.
What were we talking about? Sicario.
Yeah. Did this look as beautiful on your TV as the first one did on Tyler's TV?
It didn't have... for the most part. There was like two shots in particular, and one of them was when they do the execution at the end.
Yeah.
And it's pitch black, but it's all lit up from the headlights of the cars all around.
Yeah.
But like when he's crawling around or throwing them, it's dark.
But you probably could still see enough.
Or when they were like trekking across after he goes after she runs away after they first get like the police attack them on the road, the convoy. A lot like the shots in the desert or the nighttime shots when they're crossing the river, when the boy is bringing the van full of people across, what I mean? Just all that does so well on nighttime.
Yeah.
So like those shots really, nighttime shots in most movies look really good. So I don't know if it was still quite up to par with the first one. Cause those dawn shots were just like, I don't know. I don't feel that way when I watch stuff often. Yeah. Right. And those were just scenes that I was just like, oh, I just want to be there. I just want to crack a beer and sit on a lawn chair and just sit out in the fucking desert where they are. It's so beautiful. And I don't think I had any scenes in this one that I felt quite like that, but it still looked great.
Yeah. And I thought, like I said, it was a decent sequel comparatively to a lot of films. I think there was enough differences in this one that it didn't feel like just redoing the same thing over from the first, but also I could see where they were trying to take the things that they did in the first one that was well received and implement it here. I think they missed the mark a bit, but
you know, it was great. No flashbacks of the first movie.
Oh yeah.
Just thought of that. The first movie happened. Now we're talking about the second movie.
The first one was done.
I don't need to. When we show you Alejandro, we don't need a flashback to when Alejandro shot the guy's family. Like, we can just, you know, mention it or allude to it.
Here he is.
And you know what happened because you watched the first fucking movie. And that's
done. Done.
Beautiful. Beautiful. We're not stupid. We're not stupid. Fucking Stranger Things. Anyway.
Good God.
I'll tell you how I really feel.
Yeah, in about 25 minutes.
Next episode. But anyway.
What are your thoughts?
I would give this a one.
I
definitely give it a one.
I enjoyed it. It was a good action flick. It was good. One out of one.
He was good.
It was good.
Josh Brolin.
I think you're right, though. I think Beast elevated every movie this week.
Yeah. Yeah, Beast really took a shit on the week, didn't it? But we've got one more between now and Beast. And on Saturday, my last and fourth and last pick of the week, of my birthday week.
I can't believe you're going to get four fucking points this week.
The Swordsman. Three different swordsmen. A swordsman who is going blind. The best swordsman in Joseon Dynasty. That's Korean, so if I fuck these words up, I apologize. And the best swordsman in Qing Dynasty, who aspires to be the best even in the Joseon Dynasty, meet each other for their own reasons. That was hard to read.
What a synopsis. Three different swordsmen. One who is blind, another who is the best, and another best who aspires to be the best. Meet each other.
The best this place and the best this place who wants to be the best in this place all come together and best each other.
Yes. This was pretty badass.
Yeah.
Yeah, I enjoyed this a lot.
So the main guy, the blind guy,
yep,
is what my dad and I have had this on our to-watch list for a long time now. When we watched...
The Fortress?
No, not Fortress. He was in My Country.
Hmm.
And he was probably my favorite character. He was like the prince. And they're trying to... He's a badass in that one too. But he's also kind of not a good guy. He's kind of a like an anti-hero, but like also he's got good
style.
I mean,
just because you are a bad guy comparison. Doesn't mean you are a bad guy.
Technically, I guess yes, but it's not what I would jump to compare. But very different character from this, but equally as badass. And so the second we saw this and him as the lead in this, we were like, fuck yeah, let's add that to the list. It has not been available to stream on anything since we added it, since we found it. And I think last week or 2 weeks ago, I found it on whatever the hell we watched it on. Peacock, maybe?
Yes, Peacock.
And I was so excited. I was so happy. If I could watch this for free, I'd be so happy.
Oh, there's our South Park reference.
We got one in. So, yeah, this movie was sick.
It was awesome. I think I liked this more than Fortress. Not to say that Fortress was bad by any means, but I liked that this one was a little less political and more about just like the fight.
This one was the power more of an and the action.
And like,
and that's one thing I really like. That's what was so different. The two shows that brought us into kind of this Korean historical drama action realm, which is fucking incredible.
Mm-hmm.
But the two were The Kingdom, which is zombies, which is fucking great, and My Country. And they were different, right? Kingdom had a little more of the political stuff going on, and it was more of a drama, but it also had the big zombie stuff, which was great. But My Country was a little more on the kind of schlocky action side. Yeah. And this didn't quite go as far, but you could see glimpses of like, this is a little ridiculous and over the top for some of the action scenes, but it's still so well choreographed.
It was elegant, right?
Yeah.
Like, all of the moves are just so precise and like, I don't know. It's a weird like flute. It's almost like you're watching like rhythmic dance or something like that.
It's dancing.
They glide through the air and it was crazy. Like it made me want to go download Ghost of Tsushima and just run around as a samurai and just fuck shit up. Because I was like, after watching, I was like, man, it'd be so cool to be a samurai.
I mean, to be fair, this is Korean.
Yes.
That's Japanese.
I know. I'm just saying, like, that would be the closest yes, game I could feel sword myself fighting. Being able to like achieve something like that.
Yeah, no, or go join a LARP group so much or fun something. With that game. Only if I could have his short sword with the fucking
with the little
thing at the end. Yeah, yeah, that's sick.
But no, I mean everything about this movie. It was the set locations were gorgeous. The cinematography was beautiful. The costumes were awesome to look at. I mean, it seemed like there's a lot of passion put into the production of this, and it definitely paid off, I think, in the end. I don't know. I liked all the characters, even like the antagonists. Like, I thought they had a good storyline, even if it was just for like, I'm the best. I am the best.
So let's go.
So let's go. I am the best.
Fucking so in.
Only this episode, right? We got to get it out right now.
Yeah, no more.
All the quotes. So let's go.
Yeah. Yeah. And these guys are so good with the choreography.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, it's so much fun and it's so intense to watch. There were other people in this one in particular, who was also in My Country, another big character. And he was the guy who, this was 2 weeks ago, so I forget all the characters' names in this one at this point. But the guy with the crazy haircut, he had the big thing and then the ponytail at the back. Like, oh, it came out top.
Yep.
He kind of looked almost peacockish, but, he was also in My Country, and he was great too. So I
like this movie. It was, I think the only thing that was like weird to me was like, that one white chick with the snake.
Yeah.
She just seemed out of place.
Yeah. Even the main bad guy was a little, he was a little too, I'm the bad guy. I talk like this. It was like pushing too over the top for this one. Seemed early on to kind of establish itself as it's not going to be quite that schlocky.
Yeah.
And so bringing him in when he became a more prominent character, he was a little, I thought he was almost a little out of place too, but you kind of settle into it. I mean, this was kind of a long movie too, right?
Yeah.
This, like, a lot happens.
Pushing 2 hours. I mean,
oh, it was under two.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Hour 40.
No. Oh shit. It wasn't that long at all.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought this was longer.
I think,
I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about then.
There's a lot of story in this that makes it seem like it was longer than it was.
That's true. Yeah.
Which I think goes to probably the pacing of the film, of that if you're able to get through that much content in that amount of, like, a short amount of time, means you probably had pretty good pacing.
Yeah.
To where it's like, oh man, true. I thought that was like a 2.5 hour long movie. But no, it wasn't, because just so much happened in a quick amount of time that.
Yeah. And it didn't feel long.
Worked well.
It
just
seems like it would be longer with the content of the movie. But anyway, I don't have much more to say besides, give me that one.
Ah, fine. One out of one. 4 points for Scott.
One's for both of us. Fucking and bullshit. On to the biggest piece of shit of the year. Maybe. I don't know.
All right.
That might be being too harsh.
I picked this because it was playing in Dolby. I picked it because we hadn't been to a theater movie in a hot minute. I wanted to make sure we were using that AMC A-list membership that we both pay for, because I remembered that one. And we almost saw Bullet Train, but it wasn't playing Dolby. Yeah.
So he said he'd watch it again with me. I was like, you know what? We're breaking all the rules lately. Fuck it.
So we saw
Beast. Like, we see a movie. But yeah.
So after a shopping mall in Chennai had been hijacked by terrorists who held the visitors as hostages, Vera. Wait, what? No, this is not. That is not the synopsis. Give me a sec, folks. Yo,
what? Shopping mall?
This looks like a Bollywood film.
Oh, so it definitely was better than this. At least more interesting.
Okay, I'll give you the actual synopsis. A father and his two teenage daughters find themselves hunted by a massive road lion intent on proving that the savannah has but one apex predator. The pile of shit that is Beast. Yeah, this was a dumpster fire, and at least initially, people were raving about this movie, and I did not get it.
Really?
People love this movie. And I was like,
what did we miss?
Yeah,
did we see the same movie?
How did we go so far off?
Were they talking about the other beast?
Maybe. I mean, I don't know. But, there's so much to nitpick in this movie. I think there was one thing that I kind of liked, which was like the tightness of the shots and like trying to build the suspense in some of those moments, but it got lost so far
falls so flat when it actually happens.
Yes.
That, yeah. I mean,
but I mean like Idris Elba, he got mauled by a lion like multiple times in this movie. The first time it never impacted him. Except for one time in the movie.
That like one time he grabbed his shoulder.
Yeah, like it like chewed up his leg. It had scratch marks down his fucking chest, like deep.
This lion, by the way, in all of the mauling scenes is just like bare knuckle boxing him. It's not being a lion. He's just like kind of punching him and beating the shit out of him. and then after he's done fucking, after the gloves come off, he gets some scratches, but then he gets up and you're like, where did all the scratches come from? He's all scuffed up, but the lion didn't even show claws in this fight, man.
I don't know.
I don't know.
The pacing was bad.
Yeah.
The decision making was the stupidest I've ever seen in a movie. And the plot armor was thick. I mean, like 5 inches
this
of
plot armor was fat rolling.
5 inches of like just
where are my Elden Ring boys at? Where are my Dark Souls?
Oh, at least in those movies or in those games, you can die. In this movie,
no, I just mean the fat rolling is like the heavy armor. Yeah. Like the heaviest armor is, it's too heavy, so your roll is really fucking slow.
it was so bad. I mean, I'm embarrassed that I picked this movie.
I don't blame you, and I don't. This was worse than I was expecting.
Yes.
So I'm not saying I expected it to be good. And I'm not saying I would ever have picked it.
Well, we both saw the trailers.
But I get that this is a Dolby movie. Like, it's going to be a schlocky, stupid, whatever. Yeah. Like, you know. My thoughts were, it can't be worse than Jurassic World Dominion.
Well, you were wrong.
And I think this met that at least. Yeah. this was just... So this lion who is like, I don't even know, way the fuck out there, and also was in like an explosion, tracks them across. I don't even know how many miles, who knows, and somehow rolls up on them at this like abandoned thing near another pack of lions, which they use for the finale, the like the setup. Yeah. But also at the same time, that's their territory, like. I'm not a lion expert, but it just, there's some stuff here that doesn't fit. And it's just fucking, we haven't had, I think I told you this when we walked out of the theater, right? There hasn't been like a Meg or a, in a while. I don't know when the Meg came out, but I feel like there hasn't been a, like a beast movie.
Yeah.
And this, they were just like, fuck it. We'll just call it Beast. Because that's what we're going for, and it's now a lion. It wasn't a genetically, you know,
ancient giant
lion or anything. It was just kind of a regular lion who was pissed off.
Because it's...
And they do, I will hand it to them. Its
pack got killed by poachers.
I will hand it to them. They explain enough for logic for its intentions or its actions to make some sense, and that is more than I expected them to do.
Yeah.
It's so easy these days to just be like, but this is what's happening in the movie, so we don't need to fucking say anything about it. It's just now mad, and it's got... Actually, what I was expecting to happen is this lion is out for revenge, and now it's going to kill everyone in all of these communities, all of these little whatever villages, and you pissed it off, and you poked its eye out or something, and now it's going to get you, kind of thing, right? But they were like, no, it knows who its enemy is, and that's people, and so that's why it's just attacking people when it sees people.
Yeah.
But also, it's like fucking setting up booby traps and shit. And
I think what I most appreciate about this film, it has to go to the writing, like the action reaction of pretty much half of the dialogue in this movie was "Don't do this," followed by a character doing what they were told not to do. Stay in the car. Immediately steps out. Don't go near the window. Climbs next to the window. Dad, grab the gun, because the lion's not there, but then lion's actually there. And it was...
Or dad, grab the gun, the lion's not there, and then he doesn't grab the gun until the lion shows up again. He's like, okay, I'm going to wait under the car for 5 minutes to give the lion time to come back so we can get this suspenseful... Like,
there's an article that came out after this movie.
Do I want to hear it?
Yeah. Idris Elba's daughter auditioned for one of the daughters in this and didn't get the part because her chemistry with her father wasn't good. So then she didn't speak to her dad for 3 weeks.
Did he use that to channel some of his father angst that he had in this movie with his daughter, not the older daughter? Because he did okay with that.
Yeah.
I mean, I like him, and that's what I was kind of hoping is, like, all right, dude's going to fight a lion. Like, it's going to be stupid, but maybe it'll be fun. But it was just too stupid to be fun. I don't know how else to, like, explain. And it's been long enough now that I don't remember all of the... Which, like, I only remember glimpses.
Yeah, that's
good. And I'm hoping to not ever remember any more of this.
I just remember at the end of my notes on this one, just wrote, it was a waste of my time. And I think that, yes. I think that's the best way I can put it.
Absolutely.
It was, I don't care how fucking long it was. It was just over an hour and a half, but that's an hour and a half. I will never get back.
It's 94 minutes too long.
Yep.
And it was 93 minutes
long. I'm going to talk about the 15-minute drive to the theater, the trailers I had to sit through.
35 minutes worth of trailers.
I am tempted to put this other beast on, though.
Ah, oh, fuck.
I'm kidding. It's got a Santa Claus? 2.5 hours long.
It's over 2.5 hours?
Yeah.
Why are they doing that? I mean, I guess they have some good 2.5 hour stuff that isn't annoying.
Okay, I'm done talking about Beast. It was awful. Whatever. It's a zero for me.
It's a negative 48.
Well, I got plus 15 from Sleepaway Camp, and now I get negative 48 from Beast.
What did I give Jurassic World Dominion? Was this as bad as, because we keep saying Dominion, but I think we both agreed that Fallen Kingdom was worse.
Yeah.
Right. So was this as bad as Fallen Kingdom? Because I would say it's as bad as Dominion.
Well, I also think back to, like, what is one of the worst movies we've ever seen, technically for a podcast, and it was The Resort. And I think this blows that out of the water.
Really?
Resort was,
you're right,
bad.
It was 20 minutes longer.
Yeah, Resort was bad, but at least, like,
you could explain it. You could, okay, they're it's like a student film or some shit. Who knows? This one is a fucking blockbuster.
Well, I was gonna say, yeah, one's super low budget because they can't even afford microphones. They just have to tell nature to be quiet so they can film their scenes.
All right, yeah, zeros for Beast. Fuck that movie. And there we have it. Another week down.
Another week, another 7 movies. 44 in the book.
44 weeks. We'll wrap this up because we're going to go straight into recording the next one.
Yeah, tune in next week, though, for our special edition Stranger Things Season 4 recap episode, where me and Scott justify not watching movies because Stranger Things Season 4 was just
as long
under
as
13
watching
hours.
So. Yep. All right.
We do what we want. Also, I'm going to...
Home stretch, breaking all the
rules.
I'm going
to try to put something up on social this week.
Oh.
I've been locked out of my account for 6 weeks.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
We're locked out of our account?
No, not on Instagram, but Adobe.
Oh.
Like, the school pays for my licensee. Oh, so you can't make the
movie things? Oh.
So, like, but when I go to do anything on Adobe, it's like, oh, your license has expired. Please contact your IT department for login info. And they finally gave it back to me. So maybe I'll put something up. Maybe not. I don't care. We're almost done. 2 months away. We're losing our fucking minds.
It was good, though. I mean, this is what we wanted. We wanted to see how we would fare against this many fucking movies with how much we love movies. And we're realizing we don't love movies that much. All right, fucking bye.
Peace. Okay, bye.
Okay, bye.
Mariah, I love you, Mariah. Come to where you are.
Everyone is running to Phantom's Chewy McIntuckin for the food that heroes eat. That movie's so fucking bad.
What's the journal that he's like asked you? Do you read? Once a month. Oh,
Speedo.
Speedo magazine.
Speedo magazine. Once a month, twice a month.
The goat fetch
soup.
Okay, bye.